Isaiah chapter 40 and verse number 12. If you have that, say amen. It says, we're talking about the Lord here. It says, who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand and meted out heaven with the span and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance. In verse number 25 of that same chapter, to whom then will you liken me? Or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One. I want to preach tonight on this message, measuring an omnipotent God. Let's pray and ask God to bless this message tonight. Jesus, we pray that you would bless your people tonight. God, give us open ears and open hearts to your word. Lord, we come tonight hungry for a word from you, Lord. God, I know what you have spoken into my spirit the last 2 weeks. God, I pray, Lord, God, that I would allow you to flow through me, God. Oh, teach us tonight, God. Speak to us tonight. Lord, we need you, God, more than anything else in this world. Hallelujah. We need more of Jesus in these last days. Amen. Give him a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You can be seated. How many has ever been cut short on a deal? Been promised more in the beginning, but when it come down to the end, come down to the deal, the handshake, you come up a little short. I've had to walk away from some deals. I didn't feel right about it. When I was younger and really wanted something, I went ahead and went through the deal because I knew I wanted that certain car. It's like, you told me this price, but now you've reneged, now you've went back, and so I'm going to go ahead and take it. But now, when I'm cut short, a lot of times I just walk away from the deal. But I don't like being cut short on a deal. Especially a promise. When somebody promises something, I like for that promise to be kept. It doesn't feel good to have promises negated. Nobody likes it. And I never have and never will. But 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9 says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises. I'm taking this a little bit out of context. Slack there is really not meaning a measurement there, but if you'll allow me, I'm going to use it as that. And he's not slack. He's not behind is really what it means on his promises. And if he promised you something, he will keep it. It may not be today. It may not be tomorrow. It may not be on your time. But he promised you that. And he will keep that promise. A lot of people, where they mess up is in the waiting process of the promise coming. They get discouraged. And they decide, well, God promised it, but it hasn't come true. And so then they use that as an excuse to backslide or whatever it might be. But God is not slack concerning his promises. You believe that? I grew up with a grandmother that she taught me and my brothers how to pray. And when God promised it, how to never lose faith in God. I heard her many times in a prayer meeting say, God, I know you promised it to me many years ago, but I have not forgotten. And Lord, I'm praying tonight, just the way you showed it to me, God, I believe it's going to come to pass. And it's through prayer that you get through the process. Amen? I've had a backslider on my mind now for, it's been within the last year. And 2 weeks ago, I made a contact with him through text and he texted me back one word. But I said, you know what? I'm not going to be discouraged. God's not slack. Because I seen a dream of this man being back in the house of God. So yesterday morning, I text him again, a little bit longer paragraph, and I told him that he was on my heart again. I told him I might be the fly on the wall that just keeps annoying you, but I promise you, God has put you on my heart for a reason. This time he come back with 5 words. And I'm thinking, glory. It went from 1 word to 5. We're making progress. And then last night, I was up till 1 o'clock in the morning praying and seeking God's face. And I went to bed. And I don't know what time it was, but he come back in my dream again. And this time, he was in this church. He was clean shaven. And more importantly, his heart was clean. And I watched the tenderness of his spirit as he began to break, as I used to watch him in an altar in my old church. And the tears flowed down his face, and I said, yes, God, I know he's coming back. It may not be tonight, and I pray today that I would see him in this place. He's not here today, but he will be. God's not slack concerning his promises. He will be in this house. I promise you that, because God has promised me that. And so there is ones here tonight, individuals here in this place. You have prayed countless prayers for your lost children, your lost loved ones, and you're at a point in your life where you've quit praying for them because they're still not here. I come tonight in the Holy Ghost to tell you, if you will find another altar in your home and in your life and begin to pray for that individual again from the depths of your heart, sincerely begin to travail for that individual, God will bring them back. Don't give up on his promises. He is not slack. He has not forgotten it. And I just know it. I've seen it happen over and over again of them coming back to the Lord. And I've preached it before. I believe there is a great revival coming of backsliders, ones that have walked away from this marvelous truth. They're coming back. And I've come tonight to confront the naysayers. The ones that said, well, we've been prophesied on by my brother Cornwell. He said 100 soul revival. What was that, 2 or 3 years ago? We didn't see it. It wasn't God's fault. It wasn't because God couldn't give it. It was probably because of us. We weren't ready for it. But that 100 soul revival, he promised it. And he is not slack concerning his promises. It is still going to happen. I don't know how we're going to do it. It's not our problem. It's God's problem. This building, I want you to understand, this building cannot contain what God is going to do. Now, we've had business meetings. We've had board meetings on what we're going to do going forward in our growth and in babies and backsliders coming back, coming to this truth. What are we going to do? If you look at that on paper, we have a problem. Oh, we kind of. We're sitting on a gold mine here. But our church is on front of the property. We put a brand new church behind here. We got this building sitting in front of it. Do we want that? And we got this question and that question. And how are we going to do it? Do we want to sell and go find another place? Why don't we quit worrying about what we're going to do and just begin to pray, God, you do what you want to do and lead us, and we're going to go there. And I know we're going to be all right. We've got a pastor that has great vision. He prays. He seeks God's face. We're in good hands with a good shepherd. I'm thankful tonight. You ought to stand to your feet and thank God that you have a shepherd in your life that cares for this church and cares for your family. Jesus, in your name. I'm telling you that tonight in the Holy Ghost. I refuse to say this is all we're going to have. We have a good crowd here tonight considering how many sick. God's going to begin to raise them up, begin to heal them this week in Jesus' name. They're going to be back in the house of God in the name of Jesus. But we are in the midst of revival at an accelerated pace. And all it is people getting the vision of our pastor. You come to church and you hear him minister and you hear him preach, and it's contagious. We can do it. God, we are going to grow. I stand here tonight and say, in the name of Jesus, this year is going to be our best year. The greatest increase that we've ever had is this year, 2019. It is going to happen. Amen. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, it will happen. But I don't come tonight intimidated by those that say, well, you know, he's just a young man fired up for God. Is he really feeling the Holy Ghost? I promise you I'm feeling the Holy Ghost. I promise you God is flowing in this place, and he's come to talk to somebody tonight. If you don't get in this, you're going to get left behind. You better get in this or you're going to be left behind, because we're going up. We're growing. I want to be a part of it. I want to do whatever I can, Jesus. I want to be a part of this church. I want to be a part of this end time revival. Hallelujah. Give him a hand clap of praise. Isaiah chapter 50. Verse number 1, thus saith the Lord, where is the bill of your mother's divorcement, whom I have put away? Or which of my creditors is it to whom I have sold you? The Lord is asking the children of Israel, where is the bill of divorcement? What collector has put you away? He's asking a rhetorical question here, because he knows he hasn't done it, okay? And then he says, behold, for your iniquities have you sold yourselves. We're cutting ourselves short. I was talking to a great man today about the progress of this church and the way that we are going to progress and to climb higher in Jesus is through prayer. It's through an altar in our home and in our lives. That's how we don't cut ourselves short. I talked to our college and career 2 weeks ago about this. It's going to come through prayer. I love what we felt tonight in worship, Brother Ryan. Tremendous. We feel it almost every worship service. But it's going to come through prayer, where walls begin to fall, where your family begins to feel those weights fall off, those things that have shackled you down, so it feels. It's going to come through prayer, a prayer life. But first, an altar must be made. Prayer is great, but we need an altar to pray on. And if we don't have an altar in our home, you need to get one tonight. But he tells the people, it's not me, but it's you. It's your iniquities. They have sold yourselves, and for your transgressions is your mother put away. I didn't do it. God hasn't done it. But it's you. It's decisions and choices. As Brother Rimmer spoke and Sister Rimmer spoke this morning, and how powerful that was. But it's choices that you have made. I refuse to let past choices and decisions dictate my now and my future. I'm going forward in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I'm tired of living in the past. How many's tired of living in the past? The devil, he wants to wear you out. He wants to take your past and just all the time just press you down. Push you down. As you're coming up, no, you don't. What was Brother Dunn called him the other day? Lucy? Lucifer? I loved it. But every time you feel that strength of the Holy Ghost, power, the devil, he knows when to step in. Say, well, what about 5 years ago? What about 10 years ago? Do you think, really, that God Almighty would use you? And somebody needs to hear this tonight. He is going to use you if you will release your past to Him. Somebody's not hearing me tonight. It doesn't matter what you've done, how far you've gone. If you repent of your sins, God covers it in the blood and it's forgotten. So it's between you and God how far you want to go in the kingdom of God. And I can say this tonight because I've been there. Brother Don, I struggled for years of things that I did. And it just, about the time I'd get going, it's just like, nope, you can't. But you can. Like I said, if you've repented of your sins, and God, He will forgive you. It's time to live a conquered life, and it's time to say, all right, Lord, I'm ready to do what you want me to do. I'm done listening to the devil, to the enemy's voice, to the enemy's camp. I'm ready to live for God. Hallelujah. But it's very easy to listen to those past and listen to those thoughts that we had. But we need to get that under the blood because God has forgotten it. Amen? Amen? But he says in verse 2, wherefore when I came, was there no man? Was there no man? When I called, was there none to answer? Is my hand shortened at all that it cannot redeem? And this was the scripture that come to me when I was praying and just asking God for a word. It just stuck out. Is my hand shortened at all that it cannot redeem? And there was times, I'm sure, in your life where you felt like God's hand was so far away and it was shortened. And God really wasn't that close to you. And you were trying to measure God. You got out your spiritual tape measure and you said, oh God, well, what about this? What about that? And I did this. God, you really can't redeem me. You put a restriction on God. God didn't put a restriction on you. But you are putting restrictions on yourself because of the condemnation from the devil. I'm telling you tonight in the Holy Ghost, God has come to this place to redeem somebody from the voice of the devil that says you cannot make it. You cannot amount to anything in the kingdom of God. The devil is a liar. His hand is not shortened tonight. He wants to redeem you. He wants to redeem you in this place. It doesn't matter what's going on. God wants to redeem you in this place. But it takes you reaching out to God. God's hand is not shortened. It's always there, right where it always is. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. His hand is right by us. But what we do is we pull our hand back. Say, God, I just really don't think you can do it for me. I really don't think I'm worthy, Jesus. Oh, God, speak to us tonight. But the Lord's hand, it's not shortened. He's come here tonight to redeem somebody in the Holy Ghost. Let me stop here and say this. If you've never repented of your sins, you're in the right place. You're in the right place tonight. God can redeem. He can recover you tonight through the power of His blood that He shed on Calvary's cross. All it takes is saying, God, I'm sorry, with a repentant heart, saying, Jesus, I'm turning around. And when you do that, you're saying, all right, God, here I am, Lord. I'm ready. And then you can be baptized in Jesus' name. The washing away of all the sins of your life. And in the infilling of the Holy Ghost. It's here in this place. Hallelujah. It's here tonight. Oh, in the name of Jesus. There might be some here tonight that needs a renewing of the Holy Ghost. That'll be all right too. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. But it is still working in these end times, this Acts 2:38 message. It's still the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. His power is the same. His message is still the same. Until He comes back, you've got to have this Acts 2:38 message applied to your life. That's death, burial, and resurrection experience. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm thankful to be in a church that still preaches it, still believes it, and still lives it. Amen. Hallelujah. And it goes on to say, or have I no power to deliver? Behold, at my rebuke I dry up the sea. I make the rivers a wilderness. Their fish stinketh because there is no water and dieth for thirst. I clothe heavens with the blackness, and I make sackcloth for the covering. God can do anything. He can take your darkness and turn it into light. He can take your darkness and turn it into light. Oh, there's somebody that come in here tonight with a darkness in your spirit, a gloominess in your spirit, saying, God, it ain't working out as I planned. God, the storms of life, they're hovering over me. I don't know. I don't know where to go. I don't know what to do. God, I'm scared. But you've come to the house of God. You've come to where His Spirit and His light resides here in this place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus wants to help you tonight. God wants to take the darkness out of your life. He wants to put the light into you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. But He told His people, I didn't sell you. I didn't divorce you. I didn't turn you in. You did it to yourselves. Oh, Jesus. God, I want to be spiritually sensitive in these last days. God, where I don't get wrapped up in any device of the devil. You've got to be careful in these end times. Because just as technology advances, the devil is advancing his kingdom. He's advancing his tools. And so you have to be very, very careful about things that are coming into this world and what you're looking at, what you're applying into your life. There's just a myriad of things that some of them, they probably won't send you to hell. But you need to check and make sure there's priorities in your life and God is number one. God's number one. He's my everything. If you put God first in your life, I promise you, God's going to take care of you. You put Him number one, God's going to get you through your storm. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus, in your name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Isaiah 59 and verse number 1. Once again, Isaiah pinning down the words of God says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save." He's come to save us tonight. He's come to save you tonight. He has. You may have come just here with somebody or a visitor and know nothing about this. It's not by mistake. It's not by mistake. You're here with purpose. You're here with purpose. God can save you tonight if you have not experienced this wonderful Holy Ghost, this wonderful experience, new birth experience. Hallelujah. His hand is not shortened that He cannot save, neither His ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God. Once again, this is not God separating Himself from you, but it's your sins. It's you that's doing the separating. His hand's not shortened, but you're pulling away. And your sins have hid His face from you that He will not hear. Jesus, I don't want God to quit listening to my prayers. Oh, Jesus. I want to make sure every day that I'm prayed up, living for God, that I'm living on the right side of Jordan. Hallelujah. I'm living in the promised land. I want God's favor in my life. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Lord. But my God has not changed. His hand has not shortened. But it's the increase of sin that pushes you away from God. Pushes you away from God. Oh, God, I want to be careful. I want to be careful in these last days. Hallelujah, Jesus. Numbers chapter 11. The children of Israel. They have just been rescued. They've exited out of Egypt. They're headed to the promised land, and I begin to read through these chapters and all of the murmuring and the complaining, the things that are going on here. Numbers chapter 11 says, "And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it, and His anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burnt among them and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp." Verse number 4, "And the children of Israel also wept again and said, 'Who shall give us flesh to eat?'" They're complaining. They're asking God, "Where are you? I can't feel you. We're starving. We're hungry. We remember the fish," verse number 5, "which did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. But now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all besides this manna before our eyes." They're measuring. They're measuring God. They're measuring what's going on in their life, what they've got to eat. And in verse number 23, and they keep complaining, and the Lord, and Moses goes to the Lord, and he's talking to Him and saying, "God, these people, they're driving me nuts. They're killing me. It seems like we can't do anything right. What are we going to do, Lord? And I can't bear this alone." God gives him 70 elders, says, hey, take these men. Let them help you bear the load. And so he gives it to them, and they begin to help Moses. And then Moses comes back to God, and he asks him, and he says, the people among whom I am are 600,000 footmen. And now I said, I will give them flesh that they may eat a whole month. Shall the flocks and the herds be slain for them to suffice them? Or shall all the fish of the sea be gathered together for them to suffice them? And the Lord said unto Moses, is the Lord's hand waxed short, that shall see now whether my word shall come to pass unto thee or not? His hand is not shortened. It doesn't matter how much complaining is going on. It doesn't matter how much you think you've been done wrong. It doesn't matter how much turmoil is going on in your life. I promise you tonight in this place, God is right beside you. All you need to do is ask of Him and believe and say, God, I do not understand what's going on in my life. Lord, please help me. Help me, God. Redeem me. Jesus, I pray in the Holy Ghost. And so it goes on, and God's angered again. He gets angry toward Miriam and Aaron about murmuring against Moses. And then it goes on, and Moses, he gets the 12. He says, hey, I know all this is going on, but I want you to go out and spy the land. I want you to spy the land. So the 12 go out, and you know the story. They come back. And Caleb, in verse number 30 of chapter 13 of Numbers, it says, and Caleb steeled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are all well able to overcome it. I want Caleb's spirit in my life. It doesn't matter what the other 10 say. God, I'm ready to take my mountain. I'm ready, Jesus. Lord, what looks impossible, what looks like there's no way we're going to be able to do it. Jesus, I stand tonight upon your word. And God, I pray in the Holy Ghost, Lord, we're going to do it. We're going. There's no question about it, God. We are going to possess the revival that you have promised for Broken Arrow. Amen. And there may be negative reports, but I refuse to believe that report, that negative report. I choose to believe the report of the Lord. Hallelujah. And I'm so taken by Caleb and Joshua's spirit there. And I want that in everything I do for the kingdom of God. It doesn't matter what I go into, that God takes me into. I want to say, all right, Jesus, it looks impossible. I don't know how you're going to do this, but God, you said we could possess it. And Lord, I have come tonight to possess it in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I just want that spirit, God, that says, I don't care what gets in my way. That's what it's going to take, folks. A determination. That woman, she kept going back to the unjust judge, asking him, hey, you've heard my case. Please let me go of this. And she kept coming and kept coming. And finally he said, she's about to drive me nuts. I'm going to just wipe it clean. And that's the spirit I want, Brother Ward. God, I don't care how much I'm going through or how much I got to go through. I just want the will of God in my life. I want the will of God in my life. How many wants the will of God in your life? I'm not talking about your will and what you want, but what God wants in your life. What God has promised in your life, the omnipotent God, the all-powerful God, what he has promised, what he wants in your life, do you want it? Because if you want it, there's no doubt in my mind. It's going to take sacrifice. There's going to be some giants that come in your way that you're going to have to face. Fears. That's what I keep bumping up against, the spirit of fear. Thinking that you can't do it. Don't you know you serve the omnipotent God? Moses, going back to that, Moses, he stuttered. He was like me. And it's like, God, you know I can't put two words together. But what did God do? I mean, Moses kept, once again, pushing at him. Finally, he gave him Aaron. But in the end, God still works through Moses. That spirit of fear, he had to break it. I wish somebody could understand that. The spirit that's binding you of fear can be broken tonight. There's decisions that people are facing probably even this week that you are in fear and you are really not sure what to do. But I believe you know what to do. I believe God has spoken to you through prayer. But you're letting fear paralyze you, that you can't do it. I've come tonight to break the spirit of fear and bind it. God, we are going to see a great revival, a great harvest. And it's going to take saints like these, people like these, God, that says, I'm not going to let the spirit of fear continue to bind me. In the name of Jesus, I bind that spirit tonight by the power and the authority of the Holy Ghost. God, those that have come here tonight, God, with the spirit of fear binding them, God, loose them tonight in this place. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I pray, God. Hallelujah, Lord. Loose them tonight, God. Loose them in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. There are those considering businesses. There are those that are considering job promotions. Some, whatever it is, you better be on your knees. You better be praying, asking God for direction in your life. I want it to be in the mouth of one or two witnesses. Before I ever take a step out, Jesus, I want it to be confirmed. And tonight, before I come to this place, the word of God was confirmed in my spirit. And so I speak it tonight in the Holy Ghost. You need to break that spirit of fear before you leave the house of God. Because God wants to use you in this church. God wants to see you be fruitful in the kingdom of God. But you got to break that spirit of fear. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, God. Let's pray right now. Jesus, in your name. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, we worship you. We worship you. We magnify you, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus, in your name. That's it. Come on. Pray. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I pray. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, hallelujah, I pray, God, right now, Lord, that you would bring a peace into somebody's life. God, there's turmoil going on. God, calm the storm. Take away the darkness in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, since I was a young man, I've always been around construction and tape measures and measuring things. I was a welder, and so there's a lot of measuring going on in that trade. But 1 foot will always be 12 inches. You can cut it down and say it's a foot at 11 inches, but it ain't a foot. It's still 12 inches. And what God is wanting to do for you is beyond your imagination. And you're cutting God down and saying, Lord, really, can you really do that for me? But what God promised you, what God measured out to you, God is going to meet it. In the name of Jesus. It's here tonight, folks. If you've heard anything I've said tonight, is that the promises God has, He's promised you, they're going to come to pass if you'll just believe it, if you'll just begin to pray it stronger than you ever have. But I was praying today and studying today, and musicians come. We ain't very far from being done. But there is blessings in this house. God is wanting to bless folks. He's wanting, I'm not talking just in the natural. And He wants to bless a lot of folks here tonight. More than what you have, He's wanting to give you more. But even in the spiritual, more importantly, in the spiritual realm, God is wanting to do it for you. This is a 25 foot tape measure. And I'm not satisfied with 25 foot. God's got more than just 25 foot for this church. I promise you that. There's so much potential in this place. It's so explosive. Because every time we come into the house of God, you hold that? The presence, it's saturated this place. From prayer to the end of altar service, God is, He's trying to give more than we can ever imagine. And so, He's wanting to do that for all of us tonight. Okay? But while I was praying today, God spoke to me, and because I don't think of stuff like this. He goes, a lot of times when people think that I'm shorting them in blessings and promises, they're on the wrong end of the tape. Because, for one, their vision is not up, which it should be, but it's down, and all they ever see is 1-2. 1-2. And God's got that much more. His hand ain't shortened. You're just on the wrong side of the tape measure. Now, is that deep or what? You need to get on the other end of it. And say, all right, God. I know you want to do it for me. God, I'm tired of cutting myself short. God, I know you can do it for my family. I know you can do it for my church. But God's come here tonight. And you know it was God because I went and spent $50 on tape measures. But God's, I'm going to use these in my business, so it's all right. I got more business coming than I know what to do with. Hold that one. Hopefully it works. It's $30. But he's, seriously, I know I'm on a fine line. Pastor's going to listen to this. And I'm not preaching prosperity. And I don't know, those guys, they can get on their forums and debate all that. But I promise you, if you're prayed up, you're living for God, you're seeking God's will, God's going to bless you. Step on that right there. What he's wanting to do is he's wanting to go past 100 foot. He's wanting to go by you, sir. Doesn't matter what you've gone through. I've prayed with you before. God wants to do it in your life. Come on, right now. Raise your hands. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, right now, God, I pray, loose him in the Holy Ghost. This night, God, everything that he's gone through, God, I pray, Lord, bring a peace into his life, the storm that has surrounded him. God, bring a calm in the midst of it in the name of Jesus. God's coming around. He's coming around this place. He's saying, quit cutting yourself short. Brother Ramos, he wants to use you in the Spanish community. He kept you in America for a reason. He's going to bless. We're going to see a mighty revival through that man. He's saying, oh, I got more. You think I'm done? Oh, no. I got more, Brother Moore. Your business is going to flourish in Jesus' name. If you'll put him first. I'm still not done. God's still wanting to pour out, Sister Cook. It's not over yet. This great woman of faith, I'm so thankful for my elders. We are who we are because of them. But I'm telling you, we need to get on the receiving end of the tape and say, God, I'm trusting you tonight. God, I know that you promised me. God, I know that you said you would enlarge the borders as he told Israel. Hold on. As he told the nation of Israel. He said, I'm going to enlarge your borders. He said, I'm going to do it. Today, right before I come into this service, some may have seen me, I wrote it down. God said, he's going to enlarge this church. It's going to happen. It's inevitable. You better get ready. We've got a lot of hungry folks here. And they're saying, God, whatever you want. Jesus, get all the distractions out of the way. Get all the distractions out of the way, God. I want to focus on you, God. I want the will of God for my family. I want you number one in my life, Jesus. These altars are open. From the sound of my voice, somebody's here tonight. God's spoken to you. You need to come to this altar. You need to break that spirit of fear that's holding you back, saying you can't do it. You can't be anything in the kingdom of God. You can be. You will be. It takes a confidence. It takes saying, Jesus, I can't do it on my own. But God, I need you, Lord. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah, God. That's it. Come on, come on, come on. Yes, Jesus, I'm ready. I'm ready to go there. Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, He's spoken to you tonight. He's spoken to you tonight. What are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it? Oh, surrender. Oh, yield. Say yes, God. Hallelujah. That's it. That's it. Come on, God. God loves you. God wants to redeem you tonight. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes, 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 yes. Oh, yeah, 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 y